I want to talk about last week. We had an amazing performance. It was absolutely incredible. And let me say, I just want to thank everybody who was involved in putting on Carrie for the idea to have it and make it all happen. And it was really heartfelt. It was powerful. It was life changing. It was an amazing performance. People got saved. We have a number of people who get saved. We had a ton of folks who came up and laid things down at the altar, things in their lives and some of the junk that's happened in their lives and didn't want to be defined by it and wanted to be changed and were radically set free. And it was just cool to see all of that stuff happen that we all have a story. That we all need a hero. We all need a savior, someone to help us out of the narrative that we're in. That's when I think the prophetic word that says, hey, I know you're in this narrative. I know you're in this story and I know it doesn't look good. Here's some tough spots, but it's going to be great stuff to tell your kids because the next chapter just bump-da-da-dum on the white horse. Here he comes. I mean, it's going to be cool because we have a savior. We have a God who cares about you, who's not just disinterested looking the other way going, oh, well, it looks tough for you, bud. Tough to be you. I mean, it's he's involved with you. He cares about you. He's helping to write the narrative of your life and that which will be something that will be absolutely incredible. I love the song that we started with. Start Over by Flame. Is that who wrote it? Start Over. Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing. Today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders. You can carry the past on your shoulders. But why? Why would you want to carry your past on your shoulders? And we do it all the time. We let those things bother us, creep in, and define us. Or you can start over. That's your choice. You can start over. I love it. You can carry the past on your shoulders, or you can start over. And that's the main thing and the crazy thing about a relationship with Jesus Christ is the start over button. Is the idea what he does to us. How he makes us new. He says, regrets, no matter what you've gone through, Jesus, he gave it all to save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders so you can start over. I thought it was powerful. And then DJ came up and bounced around and did the yo, 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 bat on backwards. And I mean, he was bouncing and frying and, you know, he comes out with it. Jesus came to save the sick.
So true.
Jesus came for the weak.
Amen.
Jesus came to give good news and have the captive set free.
Amen.
Jesus came for the poor.
Amen.
Jesus came for the keys.
Amen.
Jesus came to remove the chains so the prisoners would be released.
Amen.
And then when DJ got done with all that, he went back to the back and passed out. Literally, I told him, I said, hey, I'm your understudy. In case anything happens to you, I'm going up there. And then it will really cause the meeting to go down quickly. God is amazing. By the way, visit our website. Amen. Yo, 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 dude. You know, the thing is, actually, I heard most of his words. Most of the time, when people are rapping, I have no idea what they're saying. They go, and I go, all right, dude. Sounds you like to spit more than I do, okay? So I just... But go to our website and see the video. The video is incredible how they put that video together. Share it with people. Share it on your social media. Share it with tons of folks because I believe that as you share that, you can absolutely change other people's lives as they see it and there'll be a call in there. I think the altar call is in there as well, is it? Did we put that in? All of that will be in there and I think it will be absolutely incredible. And also, if you haven't downloaded our app, make sure you download our app. Living Faith Fellowship Pullman, download the app. There's a lot of great stuff on it. Let me start with this question. Who are you? Who are you? Are you defined by your career or your genetic makeup, by the size of your house, your bank account, by your social and economic status, or what part of the town that you live in, or your education? And furthermore, does any of that really, really matter to your identity? Or are you defined by your past, by your pain, your troubles, your hurts, your vices, or your sins? Are you defined by those? There's an article that I was reading that said this. It seems that very few people are happy with themselves these days. Very few people. Let me do a little clip from our presentation last Sunday.
Straight A's. What good are they doing me now? Why am I not good enough? All I do is try and try. I thought that if I did my best, that would be good enough. But it's not. Why is there such a big difference between my best and the best?
Why am I not good enough? I think we ask ourselves that sometimes. And as I said, I was reading this article that very few people are happy with themselves. They don't feel good enough. They can sense the void of something that's missing. Without a Savior filling that void, you feel empty and you feel lost. We find out that by simply watching commercials on television, we find out how lacking we are. Marketers know that the average person is not satisfied with who they are. We see advertisements for wrinkle removing creams, hair removal products, hair growth products, diet programs, and clothing commercials that promise a new you. And all of these, if you will just buy their products. If you will just buy their products. Really? Do we become new by buying what they are selling? I don't think so. I don't think so. We become new. We can add stuff to us. We add stuff to us, but do we come brand new? And this is the important thing about what Christ does, and that I want to talk about in just a moment. From the performance, we discovered we're not defined by what we have, by what we have done, or what's been done to us. We're defined by Christ and what He's done for us. And let me say it this way, put it on the overhead. You are not defined by what has been done to you, but by what Christ has done for you. What Christ has done for you. Would you please stand? I'm going to go through a scripture this morning, and let's read it together. Just simply one verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your word, because it's that word that changes us. A new creation. I said all those gimmicks on TV are trying to do with what we have here. Either get rid of stuff or add stuff, you know. We got hair in the wrong spot. We need it over here. We need it to move. We need it someplace else. Clothes. Things that we can add to us to try to change our look, but it's still the same us. But it says here that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The word new creation, that Greek word means to make or create something which has not existed before. You are a new creation, something that has not existed before. In the New Testament, it talks about how it's used exclusively of God's activity in creation. What he did in Genesis when he said, let there be light, there was nothing, and bam, it happened. Let there be, and it came into being. He spoke it, there was nothing, and now there was something. It was new. It was brand new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Something different. We talked about in our message last week, redefined. Which means define again or differently. To re-examine or re-evaluate, especially with a view to change. Transformation. To give new meaning to. Redefine. A new creation. When you are in Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, by the way, Paul uses that in Christ a ton in his epistles. If anyone is in Christ, or rather, honestly, Christ is in you, because when this happens, when we ask the Lord to come into our life, which is, i.e., the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is in us. We don't get in Him. He gets into us. You become a new creation. A new creation. A new Genesis creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. New, different, fresh, clean. To be in Christ is to be new. A new creation. Not improved. Jesus didn't come to improve you. Not recycled. Although it's very important to do. Not modified. Not remodeled. Oh, we got you. Oh, let me see. Oh, yes. Let me do this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That looks good. I mean, He's not remodeling you. And I think this is hard to understand what I'm trying to say here. But you are not just God's little fixer-upper project. You're not a fixer-upper. He's not trying to see if He can build some equity in you and then flip you. I'm going to see if I can just fix you up and then I'm going to sell you. I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to fix you up and then I'll make something off of you. That's not what's happening here. You're not His little fixer-upper. He's not fixing stuff up. Honestly, He's going to demolish everything and rebuild. Lord, here I am. Just fix me up, Lord. I got a little problem over here. Just a little problem. I got a little problem over here with sin. It's just a little problem. I got that too. But Lord, fix me up. He didn't come to fix you up. He came to demolish the old. He came with a bulldozer. Man, and He's, no. Yes, take out the bad, but leave some of the good. He goes, we're going to take the whole thing. I liked some of that. I know, but we're going to start over. He wants to recreate. There's something that Christ does to us at the core of who we are when the Holy Spirit comes in us that recreates something. Not just fix you up. Not just fix you up. God's not trying to fix you. He's recreating. He's doing something at the core level. Jesus didn't come to fix you up, but to make you a new creation. Not to fix you up. He's not here to fix you. I don't want to be fixed. I don't want to be fixed. I want God to do something at the very core of who I am. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do we get an idea of what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, Christ is in me, I become a new creation. Going back to Genesis, that and old things get bulldozed over. And it says that all things become new. Old things pass away. Old things pass away. Pass away, that's a polite way of saying die. Well, she passed away. Where did she go? She just passed away. What does that mean? She died. She died. Die, dead, gone, adios, forgotten, out of here. Gone! And you have to understand that when He talks about the old things of your life, they are to be gone. And all things become brand spanking new. Old things pass away. They have no life. They cease to exist. They ceased to exist and therefore hold no power over you. That's what he's trying to get us to understand about our lives. I'm not defined by what I used to do or by what has happened to me. In our story last week, we talked about a person who shot and killed, or so he thought he killed, but then came back to life someone and went to prison for it. We talked about someone who was abused. We talked about someone who was bulimic. We talked about someone who was suffering from PTSD. We talked about these people who are going through issues and thought that they were defined by these things because they had been in their life for a while. That's just who I am. All these people thought they were defined by what had happened to them, and they were going to have to serve their sentence to this destiny. I'm just going to serve it. I'm just going to have to get by. I'm going to have to take this issue, this abuse, this bulimia, this anorexia, this whatever issues are out there, and I'm just going to have to deal with it. And then you're going to have to just going to cover it up. I'm going to have to just put on a happy face. Even though I still got it all, I'm just going to have to look different. I'm going to have to put on a different clothes. I'm going to have to just cover it up. I'm just going to have to pretend it's not there. But it is. All of that's there. And that's the hell of walking through all of this, is that we try to deal with it by simply covering it with something. We're going back to Adam and Eve. They fell into sin. What do? They just cover themselves with animal skins. I'm trying to hide from God. We're trying to hide our sin, hide our problem, hide our vice, hide our issues. But at night, they're always there. Like bad nightmares. It's always pounding in our mind. However, we don't have to be defined by what happens to us, but by who lives in us. I'm not defined by being a prisoner or abused or bulimic or a killer or a druggie or an alcoholic, but I'm being defined as a child of God because I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. Do I have to walk out of some stuff? Sure, sure. I'm not trying to say it's just an easy walk out. But I'm trying to get the idea of what God wants to do. He wants to get us to think that we're a new creation. A new creation. No longer defined by the pain that's happened to you, the hurt that's happened to you, the tragedy or the sin. But defined by Christ Himself. That's why we're called Christians. Christ-like. I have a new name. Christian. I'm defined by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not just an alcoholic. I'm not just a person who's been abused. I'm not just a person who's killed somebody. I'm not just a person who's... I am a child of God. I'm free. I'm a Christian. Old things, the old man, the old sins, or anything else that puts us in a rut. You know, a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out. Anything that causes our life to feel like it's, I'm just not feeling so good. I'm just not enjoying life. The rut that we're in. He wants to replace it with the Jesus inside. That we walk a whole new way. Old things pass away. All things. Not some things. Not all the things except the hard things. Not all the things except the painful things become new. All things become new. Old passes, new comes. Old gone, new in. Out with the old, in with the new. He's trying to get us to understand what He provided for you at the cross. It was powerful. It was life transforming. Getting rid of the old. Adding this awesome new. I like the word, the Greek word for new is this word that speaks about fresh. You know when it rains and you just get outside and you smell after a big rainstorm and it smells so fresh. It smells so clean, fresh. That's what he wants us to be. Have you ever gone to your refrigerator and found that which is not fresh? You go to the refrigerator and you go, oh my, there are things living in here. They've actually changed their state. No longer fresh. You smell them. You can smell them. They're starting to rot. You see, because when things die, they rot. They smell bad, like shrimp that has turned in your fridge. Isn't that wonderful? Or what about lettuce that's black? I want to put on my sandwich and I don't like it at all. I don't even like it when it starts to even get a little bit brown. My wife likes to put brown stuff in there because, you know, we're... No, I'm just kidding. She's going, hey, it's still good. And it probably really is. Most people would eat it. But I don't want to eat it. I want it fresh. When I make a sandwich, I put so much on there and I literally take a handful, about that big, of lettuce on there and smash it all together. I've got ham and turkey, and I put then on two big pieces of cheese, and I put on a big, big onion slice on that side, a slice on that side. Then I put two slices of tomatoes on there. Then I put avocados on top of all of that. Then I salt and pepper it. Then I just smother it with literally a handful of lettuce like that, and then put all of that on there, smash it down. Cut it and enjoy. Oh, love it. I'm just going, I got all this great stuff in here. I don't want a bad piece of lettuce in there. Bread that's hard and moldy. Milk that is soured. Ever taken a swig of that? Yeah, that'll teach you not to drink right out of the fridge. Because when you see it come out going kapook, kapook in pieces, you know it's bad, all right? But if you open up the carton and go, look, and the piece goes in you. You're going, hey, and about right there, because you finally get a whiff, and you smell it as it's going down, you're going, not good. And guess what? It's coming back up over to the sink, and we spit it out. Not fresh. Casseroles that have grown white beards. It's amazing to me how it grows this fuzzy stuff. I had this sandwich I was saving, and I put it in the back of my car, and I was going to, a minute, take it in, and about 4 or 5 days later, I go, oh my gosh, I pulled it out and opened it up, and literally, it looked like Santa Claus. There was a beard in there. White, and the little black dots everywhere. I don't know what the black dots were from. It was not fresh. God wants to take the not fresh things in our life and take them all out. The old man, the old way, the not fresh stuff, that old, yucky stuff, that stuff that died in there in your fridge and it's not going to heaven. I mean, it's dead and it's not going to heaven. Nobody likes the old. Were you ever the person who got the old hand-me-downs? Wasn't that fun? I get the old hand-me-downs. I had two older brothers. So I get the old hand-me-downs. The pants that are up to here, high waters, you're going to school in those. Oh, they fit around the waist. Go in there. You feel like the dam is going to break. Or shoes that are too big. Shirt that's too small. We all want what's new. We all want what's new. And Jesus tells us that the old man, the old is dead. And he came to give us a new man, a new definition, a new name. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, it speaks about this old and new man. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, your old life, what you were defined by, all of the old hurts, all of the old problems, all of the old sin, all the old vices, all of the old stuff, all of the things that are growing and not fresh, which grows corrupt. It grows corrupt, the old moldy stuff in the fridge. It doesn't get better over time. You don't go, oh man, that looks bad. I'm just going to leave it there and come back a couple weeks later. I'm sure it's going to be better. It's going to be worse. How many times do we do that in our own life though? I'm just going to endure here and I'm sure it'll get better somehow. It don't get better. It doesn't get better. If left alone, the old man grows more and more corrupt. You just can't ignore it. You're just not going to get better on your own. Something has to happen. According to the deceitful lust, and it says, put that off and be renewed. Renewed. This new word again here, in the spirit of your mind, in your head here. And that you put on the new man, which was created. This is the whole aspect again. Created, this new, different, brand spanking new, according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying to put off the old, put on the new. Put off the old, put on this new that He has for you. But God's a gentleman. He's never going to force Himself on you. He's not going to force you to take what He wants to give you. He's not going to force you to let go of what you should let go of. He's not going to force you to let go of your sins or your hurts or your pains or the issues of your life. He's not going to force you. He's going to invite you. Hey, I can take that for you. I would love to have that. Hey, throw it in here. Throw it on me. Hey, no, I'll take it. Put it here. Oh, no. And then He says, hey, I want to put on something brand new. I want to put something on. He can't make you put it off, and He can't make you put it on. But He says, I have this for you. You can put that off, and then I'm going to give you all the stuff I've got for you, and you can put that on. It has to be your choice. You're a free, volitional person. Will you choose to put it on? Or will you keep it off? I don't want to bother anybody. You're not bothering anybody. God provided it for you. Are you putting it on? Now let me address something really important right here for a second. And I hope you can follow with me. You can be given new, but choose to put on the old. New shirt. I got a brand new shirt. Oh, it's great. But I like the old one. I like this old shirt. So I want to put on this old one. Why? Why would you want to put on the old one when you have this brand new one? It's what I'm used to. Hear me. We get used to who we are defined by. We just get used to it. And kind of just stay there. I'm just used to it. I feel comfortable in my uncomfortability. I feel comfortable in my uncomfortability. I feel comfortable being defined as this because I've been defined this so long, even though I'm uncomfortable being here, but I feel comfortable being here, if you hear what I'm saying. Because the enemy is so deceptive. He gets us just to tolerate the crud that you're in. Ah, it's just what I know. People choose to stay in the old because it's their identity. And it's what they know, and what they know is comfortable to them. The enemy gets us to think that it's what we are and what we deserve. That's a big one. Well, you deserve this anyway. You did it to yourself, man. You did it to yourself. Look, you did that. You deserve this. Buck up and be a man. Just take it. Just take it. It's what you are. It's what you deserve. And it's what you will always be. Just get used to it. Get used to it. It's okay. Just get used to it. And for some reason, we start thinking that we're putting lipstick on a pig if we do anything else. Because what I am is I'm this. I'm defined by this. And so what we put on, we feel like we're putting lipstick on a pig. So we sabotage what God wants to do. And we fall into the evil plot and plans of the enemy to stay exactly right where you are. That's why I said at the beginning, you're not a fixer-upper. It's not a makeover. We're not just adding lipstick to a pig because you're not a pig. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. Maybe I was a pig and the things that I did and it was just horrific and all that. But you're a new creation. You're brand spanking new. You're different. There's power and letting go of the old you and adding and enjoying the new me. And it only happens because of Christ. I'm so thankful that God makes us new so we can let go of the old baggage. There's an interesting thing about baggage and the thing that the enemy does to us. You know, we got all these bags. You know the story, you got all this identity and I got all these bags and so I'm carrying these around. And so I deal with my life and I carry all these bags with me. So I'm up here preaching, I got the bags with me. I'm holding on to them. My old life, this is, you know, just holding on, this is my identity and our old bags. And we go to work and we have our own bags and, you know, it's cumbersome, it's hard, they're kind of heavy and we just got all this old baggage, this old identity, all the stuff that I did, it just kind of comes with me wherever I go. And you know what? The enemy goes, you know, that's really cumbersome to you. To show you how much of a friend I am to you, the enemy speaking to you, I've put it on wheels for you so it's easier for you to carry it around. See, I put it on wheels so you can just carry it around at will. It's just like, oh wow, it's easy. Hey, I can carry my baggage and it's easy. Hey guys, how are you doing? And so what we do is we carry all of our old baggage around because it seems to be easy now, but it's destroying you. But the enemy made it real easy. The enemy made it real easy for you to carry around your junk. Oh yeah, you can see I did this, that. Oh yeah, there's all that crud there too. And I got this. And I just carried it. You're not free. You're not free. And the enemy's so good about telling you, but it's easy. Just, it's so easy to carry it now. The old days sinners, man, they had to carry their sins. But you get to cart them around on wheels. Wow, the enemy's so inventive. Wow, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? He gives us the wheels so we can keep all of our junk with us so you can be neutralized wherever you go. Because when you've got all your junk here and the Lord speaks to you and says, hey, give a word of knowledge. Why don't you share something about, I don't qualify to, see who I am. I can't do that. Hey, there's a guy over here. Share with him about the Lord. Hey, share with the guy that did the, I can't. I mean, I got all this. I can't do that. Hey, enjoy your life. You see, everything the Lord wants you to do, you neutralize yourself and talk yourself out of it because you carry with you all of your past, all of your junk, all of your hurts, all of your problems, all the stuff that tells you why you can't, shouldn't, wouldn't, didn't, and whatever. You're not a fixer-upper. Yeah. You're not intended to carry it around and be... You're supposed to just simply... Just let go of the bags. Just let go of the bags. Just let go of the bags. Let go of the bags. Be a bad airport bag handler. Just throw it on there. Let the stuff fly out. Who cares? And it's flying all over the place. Ah, I don't want it anyway. I don't want none of that. Remember, he carried the cross on his shoulders so you could start over. He put something new inside of us. He put something new inside of us. But God's not here just to make you feel better so you feel good, but to change the way you even think about stuff. We don't ask Jesus in our life and go, oh, I got a little high, a little fuzzy, this is great, but I still carry everything. No, no. He came into your life to bring something absolutely more than that. He's going to reshape even how you think about life. He's going to remold your mind. He's going to renew your mind and how you think. In Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do we go from I'm this in the world, buying all of its lies, to being transformed? How do I do that? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not conformed, but transformed. Not conformed, but transformed.
Yeah.
Not of this world, but of a different world. Not of the world and worldly, but of heaven and heavenly. He wants to transform who you are. Don't conform. That means comply with the rules or standards or laws. That's what conform means. Don't conform. Comply with the rules, the standards, or the laws of this world and the way it operates. But be transformed. Metamorphosis. The way a caterpillar goes to a beautiful butterfly. It actually just... It changes. It doesn't just go. It reconstructs. It's just like it. If you look in there after he's being changed, it looks like a soup. And all of a sudden, this butterfly comes out. A change of form or nature of a thing or a person to be completely different. This is a dictionary definition into a completely different one, by natural or supernatural means. We are transformed by supernatural means, by a God in heaven that loves you so much. How? How? By the renewing of your mind. You have to think differently. Why are you taking the Carpenter series? I got to think differently. I've been raised in the world and it tells me all this stuff, but I got to realize that this is supposed to govern my life. This is supposed to be the central nervous system of my life. I'm supposed to tap into this. This is supposed to be like my brain. I need to get all of this into here. I need to get into here so I can know, hey, I'm not carrying that stuff. I'm not carrying it no more. Why is that? Because it says it right here. I don't have to carry that anymore. I can throw off the old and put on the new. So I'm going to do that. You see, we don't begin to understand what we have until we learn it and put it in our mind. We have to have our minds renewed. Why do you come to church on Sunday? To watch a crazy pastor do crazy things? No. So you can be renewed in your thinking. What am I supposed to think? What does the Bible say? What does this say? How do I live? What am I supposed to do? How have I been duped? How has my thinking been wrong? And what do I need to put off? And what do I need to put on? Excuse me, got a time issue. Renewed. 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 Renewed, renewed. So we have a biblical understanding, and it needs to be renewed daily. You're not just cleaning up your life, you're getting a whole new one. It needs to be renewing. It says renewing in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It says this: the steadfast love or kindness of the Lord never ceases. I'm so thankful for this. I'm going to close in just a moment. The steadfast love or kindness of the Lord never ceases. Does it ever stop? Is the kindness of God and His favor that He moves towards you, does it stop? Does it stop with your sin? Does it stop when you think you're something else? Does it stop? Does it ever stop? No, no. He overrides your sin. He overrides your thinking. He overrides everything and He keeps His love moving towards you. He doesn't stop. We do, but He never does. He never stops His kindness, His favor that He moves towards you with. Well, I've done this. I know, it doesn't matter. He never stops. Never means never. The Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Whoa. They are... Here's our word again. New. Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Mercy's new. Every morning. Never come to an end. Never ceases. That's what God has for you. Newness. Every morning. The word mercies means compassion. It actually speaks here of the womb. And in the Strong's definition, it says, as cherishing the fetus. You see, God's like a mother. And a mother just ain't going to quit loving her kids, regardless. Mother keeps moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and caring, and it never ends. Nothing can stop it. No sin, no failures, no troubles, no issues. Nothing stops it. You're new. You're new. You're new. You're new. Every morning, the newness and freshness of God is an ongoing and eternal reality. He makes us new, brand spanking new. Every morning, when you get up tomorrow, you need to say, I am new. You wake up, you need to go, wait a second, I'm brand new. I got new mercies. I got new stuff that the Lord wants to give to me. I have a new lease on life today. And live that way. Oh, but all this happened. I'm new today. I'm new today. I'm new today. How many of you like new? I mean, don't you like something new? Well, here you can have this old beater or this brand new car. I mean, what is it about a new car when you open it up and goes, and you go, oh my gosh, why does that smell so good? What is the deal about that? You get an old beater and you go, no. There's a hamburger that's been in there for 2 weeks. God wants us to know that's what you are. You're fresh. You're new. Every morning you're new. The next morning you're new. Next morning you're new. Next morning you're new. Let's allow this truth to take root into our hearts. Allow God to redefine who we are because of whose we are. And let me conclude with this last thought. Remember I said that God defines us, right? We don't redefine God. God redefines us. We don't redefine God. Now, you have to understand, in our world today, everybody's redefining God and who He is. This is the only definition that's acceptable. This is who He is. We cannot go, I want to redefine God for me. God is who He is. God is who He is. The world doesn't like who God is, and many of them try to redefine God to be who they want Him to be. They use philosophy, worldly logic, and arguments to justify their position. But it doesn't work like that. Now hear this. You can't put God in a box. He doesn't fit in a nice little box. When you go, I don't understand about God. I know. That's hard. But I got to figure it out so I can put Him in a box. No, He don't fit in a box. I'm glad He's bigger than a box. He's a lot huger than a box. You can't put God in your box. God is not some type of lab rat that we cut open and try and discover how He works. Or better yet, how we want Him to work. I know so many people that do that. In our world today, they're trying to redefine God. And we need to understand that. To them, God is a God who thinks differently than the Bible says He thinks. Who acts differently than the Bible says He acts. Who sees things so much differently because they're trying to put Him through their own eyes to make God be what they want Him to be instead of who He is. Redefined is not what we do to God. It's what God has done to us. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful about how You've made us. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're great. You're magnificent. Thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for redefining us. And then You refine us, Lord. I'm so thankful that God makes a better me than I do. God makes me a better me than I do. So let's let Him. Let's let them. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you don't know the Lord, this is a great day to come on up and get saved. He's still moving in a powerful way. You need to maybe recommit your life. Come on up here and recommit it. Maybe you need prayer for something. We're here for you. But know this. God's made you brand new. You are brand spanking new. Walk in your newness. Throw off the old. Put on the new. And to realize it every day is a brand new day of adventure. Just for you. God bless you. Next week, we're going to start on the Reformation. And it's going to be really, really powerful. I'm looking forward to it. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.